All right, it's time for the SOTA Money Trends Wednesday afternoon on WWL. And Paul Myers, who is North Shore Market President for Metairie Bank, joins us on WWL. Hey, Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. This is something that kind of goes against the collective ideology and opinion of the state, but it's really very important. We're talking about the growth of the state's wind energy innovation system. And there are plans to ramp up this system and to really work toward the future. And one of the problems that this country has had in the past in general is that people have been too content to cling to what is and not look to the future. How vital is this new step toward wind power?
Well, I think, with UNO launching their new Louisiana Wind Energy Hub, I think that's a great step. With what Governor Edwards did with the Louisiana Climate Action Plan, that's a step. Part of the challenge is, Scoot, both in the state and nationally, is you've had decades upon decades of infrastructure built, and you have the ability to, of course, granted, we're dealing with inflation for the gallon of gas that we're buying, but it's cheaper, it's easier, it's more efficient, going all the way back to the efficiency of the combustion engine. The difference now is we have the ability, we have the technology, we have the understanding where we can start to look at doing things a little bit differently. We have one of the beauties that we have in Southeast Louisiana is we've got decades of engineers and offshore oil rig drillers and owners, operators, et cetera, who have become very masterful in dealing with the issues associated with drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that perfectly lends itself to be able to transition to also do wind energy and wind turbines out in the Gulf to be able to withstand hurricanes and the ability to get energy back in. But it's a transition, and we still need the hydrocarbons. We still need the fossil fuels to be able to do this transition. You know, here's a for instance, if you take it down to a very simplistic level, my family, all of our lawn equipment this spring was just kaput. So we bought battery operated mower, weed eater, edger, and I get to sit there and drink a cold beverage and point to my son on the spot that he missed mowing the yard.
It's a great place to be in your life.
Absolutely. But that is an almost instantaneous transition. However, how are we powering the charging of those batteries? As you talk about dramatically changing the way we obtain and consume energy in not only in Louisiana, but in the United States as a whole, there is a transition that is going to take, it's going to take more than if, and at least in my simplistic mind, more than 2 to 5 years. I mean, there's always going to be a need for petroleum and petroleum-based products. I mean, a car, and don't quote me on this, but I think I'm right, it takes 60 barrels of oil to create a Tesla.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, but unfortunately, and I don't want to drag you into the political aspect of this, but it has become a political debate, and it's almost like if you buy an electric car, you're a liberal, and yet there are conservatives buying Teslas and enjoying Teslas, just like liberals. And it shouldn't be about politics, but for some reason there are, you know, almost everything is about politics today. And the idea of electric cars, some people think that we're going to try to get rid of everything that is not electric. And that's not true, because I think you bring up a great point, Paul. There's always going to be a need for oil and gas, but the future seems to be toward wind power and things like that. And we have an opportunity to start aggressively heading in that direction, or we can let other people do it and we can just sit here in the past.
Well, and I will be the first one to say that we collectively, and I say we, Southeast Louisiana, the state of Louisiana as a whole, we need to ensure that we're taking advantage of all of the assets that we have to really create a future economic engine and vision for this state. We're surrounded by, we're flanked with Texas and Florida and Mississippi and other states. We don't want to be in the bottom. We were tremendous with the oil and gas play around the turn of the century and other things, but we've progressively kind of fallen into the third and fourth row of instead of being in the front row of that. So by utilizing some of these incentives and these programs to bring to UNO, to bring to University of Lafayette, to bring to Delgado or North Shore Technical Community College or wherever, and utilize some of the institutional knowledge, if you will, of what we've learned in dealing with oil and gas and dealing with exploration and doing things in the Gulf, we can take those assets and we can easily transition into looking at other alternative energies. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm not real sure about is I believe in the climate plan, and it's mentioned that's one of the big initiatives for the wind energy hub, is that we want to be generating five, and forgive me, if you watch Back to the Future, it's a gigawatt or it's a gigawatt. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, so you have to forgive me on that. But five gigawatts of power, and doing my research, 750,000 homes can be powered with 1 gigawatt.
Wow.
So you're talking about if that is something that we can actually do, then and forgive my ignorance on this, we could be an exporter of wind energy to other areas, because we only have I believe roughly in Louisiana, it's like 2 million homes total.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, we're just at an interesting point, and I'm not dragging you into this, I'm adding this myself, but I hate that everything is about politics and converting to wind energy and better sources of energy that fit our society more in the future, or at least adding it as a substantial element in our society, that shouldn't be political. That should be just for the benefit of America. But there are people who stand strong against these things as if it's some kind of wacko liberal concept. And if we can drill in the Gulf, then we can put the wind windmills, the big turbines, whatever they call them, in the Gulf of Mexico. In fact, I think the president has actually allowed some sales to be considered now, some leases.
Well, and look, I'm trying to conveniently sidestep the whole political commentary.
Please do. Yeah, please do.
The reality is, I'm doing my best here.
I'm sorry, and I'm not making it any easier. I know.
No, but I'm trying. But, again, to go back to that example that I made, the transition, and again, I don't firmly believe that we'll ever be able to fully move away from petroleum products, oil and gas, natural gas, and other things. I mean, Britain, Peter Linneman, who's a former Wharton School professor, was actually commenting where he was a little bit critical of the United Kingdom and Britain because of their green policies. And really what they've done is they just outsourced it. Right. They're just bringing it in. They're just not producing it themselves. So other countries are producing it. So, you start to split hairs there. Mm-hmm. But my point is if you want to just, I think it goes back to conversations that you and I've had, Scoot, in that you have to get the people in the room and you have to have the tough conversations. But both sides need to listen. Both sides
right.
need to recognize if you're 100% on renewable energies, you're going to have to recognize that if the people that are traditional oil and gas, but we've seen and it's been well documented that the major suppliers and refiners of oil and gas are also spending a tremendous amount of time, effort, and money to research all of the solar, the wind, et cetera, to move towards that. And the beauty of capitalism is if they can find a way to make money doing it, hey, they want to do it. And they want to be on the forefront, just as the state of Louisiana and what UNO is doing with the wind energy hub. We want to be on the forefront. We want this to be an economic
right.
engine for the
right.
state of Louisiana going forward. But you have to, both parties, both sides have to listen and recognize that if you're 100% clean, and the people who are more traditional oil and gas, but are working to assist in that transition and using those assets that they have. And they say, well, the reality, I see that you want this done in 3 years, but the reality of the processes and things in the manufacturing, it's going to be 10. And if they're not agreeing and they say, well, that's too slow, you're dragging your feet, you want to make more, you know, all of these things going back and forth, there needs to be some understanding and appreciation of both sides to try and come out and really work towards one common goal.
Boy, and that's a challenge. Tell me again how much oil it takes to make a Tesla. That was fascinating.
Okay. So, again, don't quote me on it, but I want to say I read an article where it takes 60 barrels of oil to build a Tesla. I mean, think about it. The dash, all of the different plastics and rubber and all that stuff, those are all petroleum byproducts.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention the fact that one thing that I think somewhat gets missed is the all of the little motors and the little all of these little parts and pieces that move, they need to be lubricated. Otherwise, you've got metal grinding on metal or plastic grinding on plastic, and they need lubrication. So I don't know that we'll ever be fully away from that just because of the sheer nature of manufacturing and other things. But, you know, it's a challenging time where we are right now. We can say we're transitioning, but I don't even think we're fully at the transition yet. I think we're at the exploration of many instances of renewable energy.
You know, we're seeing more electric cars, more Teslas, even in this area, but it's not something that it hasn't taken over yet, and it's not going to totally wipe out the oil and gas industry. But man, for young people looking to get into an industry, you know, there's going to be so much room for new innovation when it comes to renewable energy, and like you can't stop it. It's kind of like, you know, you can't stop social media from happening. It's going to happen anyway. And radio stations were the only source of music for so many people, you know, when we were growing up. But now there's social media and there's streaming services. We couldn't stop that. The best thing we can do is adapt it to us to help it promote what we do.
Well, and look, growth and change are always going to happen, right? So you can either have your eyes wide open, have clear vision and a willingness to work with all parties involved to help steer the growth of the New Orleans region, Southeast Louisiana, and the state, so that we can regain some of that huge economic drive that we experienced in the oil and gas industry in its heyday in the turn of the century and you know, going through the 50s and 60s. We have that ability and we can take part in it. Or to your point, we can sit back and just say we can look at the past. And I think we've got the right people in our region that can help drive that. It's just a matter of, to your point, it gets politicized, and we just need to make sure that all the people in the room are having a good constructive conversation.
Yeah, I guess the argument can be that talking about how it is politicized is talking about politics, but in a way we're talking about how it shouldn't be about politics. So is that really about politics? I don't know. Hey, listen, you know, we have this image of these turbines turning so slowly. I mean, so if a storm came through, are they going to like start really spinning?
You know, I honestly don't. I would think that yes, they would. And then but the other thing too is what is the protocol for when a storm comes into the Gulf? You know, obviously the oil rigs have protocols and things that they do to secure.
Yeah.
They get the people off the rig. They have people that stay on and secure. So what will those protocols be? Do they have to? Is there a protocol that maybe the blades do something to so that they're not out in the wind and potentially get damaged? Or are they manufactured at to a level that they can sustain a category 3 or 4?
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, and generate so much more power.
Propeller-driven planes have the ability to, it's called feather the props. And you just put them at an angle where you're feathering the props. So maybe something like that would be part of it. Anyway, hey, great conversation, Paul. It went a little bit long, but thanks for spending time with us. Paul Myers is North Shore Market President for Metairie Bank, a community bank connecting with you, doing business for over 75 years. Great to have you as part of SOTA Money Trends on WWL.